Thank you, Lord. It was in the mid-80s, and I was a student at Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we were a young family then. We had two boys at that time. And I was attending school, a full-time student, and my wife took care of our children, and she also did a full-time daycare during the day. And then in the evening, I came home, and she would go to work. And we did that for 4 years. And there was a time, you know, it was a time of sacrifice for us. Not anything I would encourage young people to do, to get married, have children, then go to college. Kind of reverse that, okay? And but there I was as a husband and a father. And we were eating lentil loaf, lentil burgers, lentil stew. The only thing we didn't have was lentil cereal. Praise God. But at this point in our life, the lentils were running out. And I remember after finishing my classes before I was to go home, I found an empty classroom and I had my Bible. And I'm not a crier, but I literally began to cry out to the Lord. And I remember telling him, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got a family at home that's counting on me. And I don't know where we're going to get our next meals from. And I began to quote scripture back to him, his promises of taking care of us. My God shall supply every need of yours, being one of them. And when I had finished, I wiped my tears. I left that classroom and I walked home. And I went to the mailbox first. I picked up the mail. And there was a envelope in there from Illinois, back home where we lived, or had lived. And I opened up that letter, and there was a note inside. Dear Lou and Kara, this morning I felt impressed that you maybe could use this. And so I'm sending it on its way. I think it was postmarked 4 days before that. And in there was a check for $200. Before I asked, God had answered. And that's the gist of my message today. We have a benevolent, loving Heavenly Father. Amen. That is longing to give good gifts to His children. Right? So we're looking at a parable today. Turn with me in your Bibles if you like. There's a pew Bible there in front of you. If you don't have one with you, or you can use your electronic device and take advantage of our free Wi-Fi here at Camelback. And we're looking at Luke chapter 11, and the parable starts with verse 5. Luke 11 and verse 5. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Okay, we got some quick students already. It's great. Luke chapter 11. Beginning with verse 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to him at midnight and he says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Now, we need to remember that there were no phones at this time. So it wasn't like this friend had called up his friend and said, "Hey, I'm on my way. I'm going to get there a little bit late. It's going to be midnight." There was none of that. And so here this guest arrives at midnight unannounced, and this wasn't uncommon to for it to happen. And at midnight, it was, again, the custom of the day, Middle Eastern custom, you didn't turn friends away. Another one of their customs is when you had a guest arrive at your house, you would not only invite them in, but what else would you do? You'd feed them. You'd have a meal for them. And so here this guest arrives, and unfortunately the host family has eaten all of their bread for the day. Now this isn't loaves of bread. I know we often think of these loaves of bread. It's pita bread. It's a flat bread. Some of you have had it maybe at a Middle Eastern restaurant, or maybe you've purchased it. I think they're selling it now even at Costco. So maybe you've picked some up. And that one slice or that one pita, that was considered a loaf. So this gentleman has a guest that has arrived. Most likely it's a male, because that was what was required for a male, was 3 loaves of bread that day. That was his quota. That was his need. And so he doesn't have anything to give him. They didn't have the 24-hour Winco's or Walmart's, in that day. So according to his wife, the host, to his wife, she remembers possibly that she was talking to the neighbor, and his wife told her that, I have some bread left over from today. And so she says to her husband, "Hey, go to the neighbor. I know that they have bread." And so he does. Verse 7 tells us, then he gets to the door, he knocks on the door, and he says, "Look, I have a guest. I don't have anything to eat and to give him. Come on, give me some bread." In verse 7, then one of the on the inside answers and says, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed and I can't get up and give you anything." Now, the peasant Jewish farmer didn't live in a home like we live today. It was a small home, maybe 12 by 12, something like that. There were 2 levels. It was a bi-level, not a full bi-level, but partial bi-level. Down below, the animals would be kept, because they would bring them in at night into the home to keep them from being stolen. And they would have a place for the animals, and there were some other things kept down there. But the family slept up on the second floor. But mind you, it's not the whole second floor. It's just a section of the second floor on a mat, and the whole family would sleep on that mat together. And in Christ's time, I'm not sure when it started, or I'm guessing at this, the families were large in Jesus' day. Probably so, because they were encouraged to be fruitful and multiply, because someone is going to bring forth the Messiah, right? And so this isn't a small family. It's probably a good-sized family. They've already gone to bed. And so for this gentleman to get out to open his door to get his neighbor loaves of bread, he might have to crawl over everybody to get there, to get down. And so the one on the inside says, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." But this man is what? He's persistent. He's there knocking on the door. Verse 8 tells us, he says, "I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness or his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he," what? "As he needs." So what's happening here is Jesus takes this typical Middle East incident, and he uses it to bring some very important lessons to his disciples. And for us to understand what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here, we actually have to go outside of this little parable to understand it. I always say you have to look at the context of which this story is told. So let's go back to the beginning of Luke chapter 11, and we see verse 1, and it says, one day Jesus was what? Praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to what? Teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And so here is Jesus, and he begins this prayer. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into what? Temptation. So, lesson number one. In Jesus' prayer there, he is trying to help the disciples understand that God is a loving Father. Because how does he address them? How does he say? Well, how should you address God? Our Father. Our Father. You see, in those days, the Jews were very hesitant even to mention God by name. And their prayers were very high churchy. Okay? They were very careful in the words that they chose as they spoke to God. They didn't see him as a loving Father. But Jesus is telling his disciples, look, when you come to God, address him as our Father, my Father, which is in heaven. God wants you to address him as your as Father, and he wants you to empty his heart. He wants you to bare your soul. He wants you to tell him all your needs. He wants you to ask him for your daily needs. God is concerned about you. That's the message that Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand. Ask him for forgiveness for all your sins. God wants you to ask him these things. He doesn't want you to see him as a God who is distant and far off and someone to be afraid of. He wants you to see them as a loving Father who cares for his family, who cares for his children, someone that is a friend. Friend. He's a loving, benevolent Father. So then after introducing them to the Lord's Prayer, he gives this parable that begins, suppose you have a what? A friend. That's what he wanted them to see God as a friend, as a father, a loving father. And so he begins to tell the story. And when you look at the statement in the original, it's very interesting. Jesus put it this way, how many of you would think of just pushing your friend away if he was to come at midnight? That was unheard of. Jewish custom, culture wouldn't allow that. It wouldn't be like someone coming to your door today. You know, it used to be when people would come to your door, you'd throw, oh, look who's here, it's Ron and Lisa, come on in, hey! And you take them over to the table and no, today the doorbell rings and you're like, nobody move. Honey, were you expecting someone? No, in that day you would welcome your guest and you would bring them in and you would be so excited to see them and you would make sure that you would have a meal and for them. And so Jesus saying to the disciples, it would be unthinkable for you to push that guest away. But instead, if you don't have any bread, you're not going to say, oh, friend, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. No, you're going to be resourceful. And this man was resourceful. In the parable, he goes to his neighbor. God wants us to feel free to come to him in our time of need. He's a loving, benevolent Father. Lesson two, we're to be earnest and persistent in our prayers. In the parable, the request was first denied. But because of his urging persistence, the neighbor gets up and gives him what he's asked for. He gives him the bread. Again, this is a parable, right? And a parable is a story, a simple story that Jesus used that he told to illustrate a moral or a spiritual truth. This isn't any ordinary bread that Jesus is referring to in this parable. As Jesus claimed in John 6:35, he says, I am what? The bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus is the source of life, and without him, there is no life. In our spiritual poverty, in our time of need, we can go to our loving Heavenly Father and beg bread. He wants us to come. He's not that neighbor who's going to deny you entrance. He is welcoming your request. And we'll see that a little bit further on in this chapter. So in our spiritual poverty, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for such is the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And that poor in spirit there means those who are seeing themselves depleted of any source of hope for eternity. Their righteousness is as filthy rag. But Jesus says, blessed are those who recognize that because they have a benevolent heavenly Father of which his kingdom belongs to them. In James chapter 1, here, turn with me there. James, keep your finger there in that parable, but turn to the book of James, Hebrew, James, James chapter 1. Again, I want you to understand this, why this persistence? Why didn't the knocking at the door come and the door just flung open and then given? There's a persistence there. And we need to be persistent in our prayers. Why? James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, James tells us, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Anybody here face a trial? Okay? Wasn't that joyful? How do you like that? Consider it pure joy. When you face trials, not just one trial, but many trials of various kinds. Don't you love it? It's bad enough when one thing comes, but when you get hit with multiple things all at once and you go, what? What is going on? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your, what? Faith develops perseverance. There's that word, perseverance. It develops perseverance. Why do we keep going back to God? Why would we consider keep going to him in our time of needs? Because we know he is a loving, benevolent Father. Have you ever heard that saying? God is never late. He's rarely early. But he's always on time. Isn't that true? He's never late. Rarely is he early, but he's always on time. Perseverance must finish its work. This is verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What would life be for us? How would we live our lives if everything went so easy for us? If it was served to you, as they say proverbially, on the silver platter, and then a time of trial comes. You know, we live in a generation of microwaves and instant gratification, right? Mac computers with solid state technology, right, John? You can turn it on, boom, it's on, boom. Go to the internet, click, I want to go here, poof, it's there. Gone are the old days of those, you know, those big floppy disks, you know, those, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You'd put it in and you'd boot the computer up and then you'd go and have breakfast. Come back. Well, it's almost there. We live in this age of instant gratification. We have it very good here in the U.S. And whenever something comes along, like elections, to ruffle our feathers, whoa, doom and gloom. What are they going to do? Woe is me, the sky is falling. God understands our need of development. We had a saying when I was doing weightlifting in my younger days, no pain, no gain. And there were times that we would, if you ever done a lot of weightlifting or whatever, you'd get to the point where you'd hit this plateau. You'd have this surge of growth and then you'd hit this plateau for like weeks. It was like just hitting a wall. And there you are, you're on that bench press, and you're at 360, and you're like, I can't get by it. And your partner keeps encouraging you. And then it comes, that day comes, and the victory is sweet, but you worked for it, you sweated for it. It meant something when you got there, right? A lot of this generation, my generation, doesn't understand that. But God says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So Jesus is saying our prayers must be persistent because our faith must be unshakable. The man did not take no for an answer in this parable. He knew that even though his friend may not give him bread out of kindness, he would give it to him out of his persistence. And God is not holding back because he wants to hold back from us. He wants us to develop an unshakable faith. Interestingly, I did a little research on this. Interestingly, this Greek word for perseverance or patient endurance is the same word that's used in Revelation 14:2 when it comes to the three angels' message. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandment and remain faithful to Jesus. In this 11th hour of Earth's history, God's people need to have an unshakable faith. One time I'll do a sermon series on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You ever heard that term before? If you read scripture, you'll come across that. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll give you the skinny. Abraham was known for his faith. He believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Isaac was born from a miraculous happening. Sarah and Abraham were well beyond childbearing years, and God produced Isaac. Isaac represents the new birth, a birth that comes not from human origin, but from a heavenly origin. That's Isaac. Jacob, what did we know the story of Jacob? What did he do? He persevered with God. He wrestled with God, and he says, I won't let go until the blessing comes. And he persevered with God, and because he held on, his name was changed from Jacob, which was deceiver, to Israel, one who contended with God, who held on to God. So we need to be children of Israel today. Serve God of Abraham. We need to have faith. We need to be of that of Isaac, born of heaven origin. And we need to be able to wrestle and hold on until the blessing comes. Amen? Amen. Lesson 3. We are to ask for and receive the blessing of Christ so that we can give to the world. Notice in this parable, this guy didn't go to the neighbor because they were reluctant, because he wasn't a provider for his home or being lazy. His friend comes who is in need, and he goes that he might get bread. He asked for 3 loaves of bread, not for himself, but for his friend. And he was persistently and shamelessly asking until his friend got up and gave him the bread. We must ask God to bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. Evidence of a true Christian experience, of one who has been born of heavenly origin and not earthly, is to come to that recognition that we have a loving heavenly Father and a Savior in Jesus Christ. We are no longer insecure about our destiny. We are no longer insecure in saying, I hope I'm ready when Jesus comes. We no longer have that thought that says, boy, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. We have confidence and we boast in our God, and we have the assurance of salvation because Christ said it is finished on Calvary. And because of that, we are not ashamed to go to our Heavenly Father and say, give us more that we might give it to someone else. As Christians, we cannot live our lives in a vacuum. We cannot be satisfied by being filled and know that someone else is going hungry. We cannot, as Christians, say, well, you know, I hope the pastor does a good job and wins souls for Jesus. Or be simply praying for Sean Boonstra or Doug Batchelor or some of these people, hoping that they can do a good job and win people for Jesus. We can't be faithful Christians and sitting and saying, Lord, send laborers for the harvest and sit down and do nothing of ourselves. God is calling every man, woman, child, young, old, in between, while we have breath in our bodies, to plead with Him, give us an opportunity that I might share bread with someone. And if you reach that stage, I've talked to many old folks who are laying on their deathbed, wondering what their purpose is. I said, pray. Pray for those that can get up. Pray.
Pray for those who can still go to work in the morning. Pray that God will lay a burden on their hearts for their friends, for their neighbors, for anyone, just like the net. That all may be gathered into God's home. If you can't do anything else, pray. Pray. With this in mind, let's go to the application. We're going to wrap this up here. Go back to the parable, Luke chapter 11. Notice what Jesus says. Here's the application. With this context, with this understanding of what Jesus is teaching his disciples, he says in verse 9, Luke 11, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be what? Given to you." Do you understand the context now? It's not, "God, give me that Lamborghini. God, I wanted to get closer to the church. Why didn't you give me that mansion up here on Camelback so I could just take a 5-minute drive down to the church?" Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. There's the persistence. Seek. And you will find. Knock. You see it in the parable? You see the parable here? Ask, seek, be persistent, knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Is that a promise? Is that a maybe? That's not a maybe, folks. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know. I've never done that before." God says, "If you ask, I'll give it to you." For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door is opened. And he says in verse 11, he says, think about it. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion? It's laughable. We can laugh. It's okay to laugh in church. I mean, it's ridiculous. No father would do that. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Wow. Wow. Do you want the Holy Spirit this morning? Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And friends, I believe your life will never be the same. You will go, I tell my wife this all the time, we're going on an adventure. You will be on an adventure that you'll never, ever go back. We're told by one individual who saw what was yet to come, and she said, when she was asked, "Did you tell him about all the things that took place? Did you tell them of the trials that we've gone through after they passed?" Couldn't recall it. Said, "It was so overwhelming. All I could think of was, heaven is cheap enough. Heaven is cheap enough." It's cheap for us, but it cost our Heavenly Father His Son. I'm praying for Camelback Church. That's me too. I'd say I'm not up here, folks. We're here. or at the foot of the cross. I'm praying for revival, the Camelback Church. I'm praying that God would reveal to us His amazing love. Because that's the only thing that's going to transform. We're selfish in and of ourselves. That's why the scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. Until we understand how dark the night is, we will never see how glorious the stars are. We serve an amazing God. And when we understand His love for us, when we come to know that, and we grow in that love, the outcome is showing it. That's my prayer for us today. I want to go back as I close, before I close with prayer, to the story of Desmond Doss. Someone who posed the thought of picking up a gun and killing someone, but did not shirk his duty and went into harm's way, unarmed, to save people, even the enemy. He makes a statement, he says, I don't see anything wrong if, you know, there seems to be a lot of killing going around. I can't see any harm why it would bother anyone to try to bring some goodness into this world. We need more heroes today, like Desmond Doss. Today, when you leave, again, I want to remind you, you don't have to, but we have an invitation for you, or we have a gift for you, to pick up a book, or two, or three, or five, or 10, or 20, or 30, whatever, until they're out, until they're gone. And share them. A lot of people like to read the book after seeing the movie and compare them. Here's the opportunity. Shares a little bit more about Desmond's faith. Pick up a book as you leave. And I want to thank you once again for giving to one of Camelback's ministries. And thank you for giving, those of you that come regularly to Camelback and you put that check in the tithe envelope and you give it on behalf, or you give it to Camelback Ministries, the budget here for Camelback Ministries. Just to clarify something, you know, Adventist Church is kind of unique in the sense that we don't keep tithe here in our church. Tithe goes on to our parent organization, the conference and the general conference, and that tithe is distributed evenly across the globe and across the world to help pay ministers and missionaries and teachers and so forth. So all of that funding, all of our tithes, they go on someplace else and they do a good work. Our offerings stay with our local church. So all this, you give, folks, you give above and beyond because Camelback has some amazing ministries. And we want to continue doing that. Thank you for choosing to be here today, worshiping. I hope that you've been blessed. I pray that if you've been blessed, that you will go out and be a blessing now. We have these cards here at the booth, at our literature booth, if you'd like to invite a friend for next week. We make it very simple. You're invited. On the back side, it has the map of where Camelback is located. If you're a guest with us today, I believe, do we have a guest meal today? Is there a guest meal? No guest meal today. Okay, no guest meal today. We're going to fix that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this parable. Thank you for the holy boldness of Jesus that he was willing to leave the comforts of heaven to come to this planet and to reveal the Father. Thank you for this story that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be afraid. But even in a time of this perfect storm in life, we can have perfect peace because we know of a benevolent, loving Father in heaven who is willing to give good gifts to his children. Dismiss us now, Father, with your blessing, and help us to share that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.